Sid, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Another name that I mentioned to everybody yesterday. I didn't really get into much detail, but Flameaway got himself a Stallion deal, and here's a Catholic boy late last week, and after some fits and starts to try to get him back to the races, decision made to just get him ready for his Stallion career. What do you think of his prospects, and who would benefit from a visit to Catholic Boy?
Well, you go to Claiborne Farm, and right away, you get a big stamp of approval, right there. I mean, commercial breeders are going to have profitable yearlings. It always inevitably happens. It's tough to get in. They're a little more stringent. They have, access to excellent mares. So, yeah, it's a really promising thing to get a horse into Claiborne. And at this price point, $25,000, he's extremely attractive, especially with what he did with his, the racetrack last year. He's certainly one of the most commercial prospects you're looking at.
More Than Ready, who I've identified when Scat Daddy passed, I thought that he had the most similar profile. I called him kind of a poor man Scat Daddy. His career continues just to sort of, plug along, very solidly. And he gets, he gets different kinds of horses. He's got that, that turf influence. And the assumption, especially off of the resume, the Catholic Boy will, offer that same kind of template.
Interestingly, Scat Daddy and More Than Ready were owned by the same guy, Scattercino, James Scattercino. And Scat Daddy was actually priced lower than More Than Ready for a while. More Than Ready's real claim to fame that really got him on the map was he was a premier stallion at one point, the best stallion in Australia, where he's been shuttling every year. At one point he was standing in the $200,000 stud range in Australia. He's phenomenal down there. And slowly, he started to pick up here. Now he was an anomaly in one instance because his own sire, Southern Halo, was stood at the late Hernan Sariani Cernada's famed La Quebrada stud farm, La Quebrada, where he was the dominant stallion in Argentina, and then Coolmore decided to reverse shuttle him here. And he really wasn't that big here, but he left one big son, and that was More Than Ready. And it's interesting how he's part of that Halo Sire line, the same Sunday Silence line that's so productive, explosive in Japan and Australia lately. And he's an interesting horse. He does preserve a certain line that is kind of gone here, except for him. You have another introduction of Sunday Silence coming here with Yoshida at Windstar. But the more than Ready line, is going to be given an opportunity here. Hopefully it adds to, it reflowers again here.
note some differences, Sid, to differentiate between More Than Ready and Catholic Boy, and by that I mean the female family. And Catholic Boy with the Bernardini Mayor, Song of Bernadette, Stamina influence in the second dam, Winner's Edge by Seeking the Gold, and there's the Turf influence, Nijinsky, the third dam, Lucky Us. And, that's got all kinds of versatility in it. There's some brilliance, there's staying power, and there's turf. So a little of everything. And then More Than Ready's family, of course, is a Raise a Native line with Woodman's Girl, the dam, daughter of Woodman. And, there's a real diversity in the female families of these two, of the son and father.
Yeah, but one common thing is the turf for More Than Ready. More Than Ready was really, even though he ran fourth in the Derby here and he was, performed here on dirt, what came to be with him was his extraordinary turf ability. And for a long time, he was considered really a turf type of stallion, for lack of better phraseology. He wasn't that popular here in the beginning because of that turf kind of reputation he was getting, especially in Australia, where he, was getting winners. It's all turf there and sprints, and he had this sprinting profile, turf sprinting profile that he developed as a shuttle stallion. And with this horse, Catholic Boy, the big difference, Steve, is the introduction, as he pointed out, of the AP Indy line, which is dirt and some stamina. Bernardini is turning into an incredible broodmare stallion. Yes. And, immediately you're able to get, and don't forget, this horse started out as a turf horse, too. But Jonathan Thomas and his ownership group decided to try the dirt where he was successful, and they stayed 10 furlongs, which is the added stamina of exactly that, those stacking of the sires you pointed out from the first, second, third dam, all stamina. Bernardini Seeking the Gold, Nijinsky, added some turf into it, but obviously the Nijinsky part. But there was already turf there, and what they did here with this horse is add more staying power and dirt to it, and it really showed in his racing performance.
Anything on a mare on top of your head, just glancing at this, who should think about Catholic Boy? Who would you be recommending?
I'd have to take a closer look. A lot of times it's not just the sire line cross, but it's it's sort of like what we do with our broodmare compatibility analysis. Is we take a look not just at a sire line cross, but how the ancestors of, say, More Than Ready, since this is a new son of More Than Ready, would have performed with different ancestors in that particular mare. And that gives sort of like we call it the Lion's Score, but it's like a radiograph, which I find to be extremely helpful in using as an adjunct to other stuff. So like when we do that, we take that particular mare and we see, say, go back five generations and see the influence of More Than Ready, not just with the stallions, but the mares of the family too. And that gives an added layer of information which we can use to kind of you know, obviously any new sire, there's no production history. So you've got to really analyze the family. You've got to analyze the ancestors in the family, the sire line cross, and, you know, sort of come to a conclusion. But, you know, I think he's a really attractive horse. The first, one of the first More Than Readies to go to stud was the horse at Windstar. His name escapes me, but you probably remember him, the Champagne winner. By More Than what's his name? Apologies to Windstar, but his first crop is 2 years this year. The Champagne winner by More Than Ready was
oh my God!
You know,
Chad, the Chad, right? The Chad horse.
I've got to look him up now.
Practical Joke or Practical
No, he's a Practical Joke. He's an Into Mischief. So
Into Mischief.
Champagne winner. I'm sure Elliot Walden, if he's listening, is just grinding his teeth right now. Oh my God, this guy can't remember the Champagne winner, our young horse here is at stud, and he's just like really butchering this thing. But Daredevil.
Oh, okay, sure, sure.
Yeah,
there,
yeah,
there's been
yeah.
A, there's been a lot of there's been a lot of.
I just got a text. Jason Crowley said Daredevil, Sid. So we got some people listening on Twitter that helped me out. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate that. You know, age, memory.
Charlie Bowden also weighed in on my end, too. Charlie.
Oh, he did? Okay, yeah. Oh, how embarrassing.
I couldn't remember either. There's a lot. I know that they put a lot behind him. They had a lot of confidence in him.
You know, and he hasn't really cropped up yet among these horses. He got really good looking, fast looking yearlings and 2 year olds. So, you know, it's still early, but, you know, you would have liked to have seen him, pop early, like, what he was supposed to do. But you know, let's give him a little time. But at any rate, it's way too early, you know. In the Southern Hemisphere, the More Than Ready sons have done extremely well. So I think that I, for one, would love to see this line, you know, flourish here. You know, talking about diversity, too. I mean, it's a halo line. And, you know, it adds, it certainly adds opportunity for people. And we're starting to see people pay some attention to this, different lines starting to, you know, come up like that. So, and of course, he's had some other horses too, you know, Reddy's, image, I think, at, Calumet has, you know, so there've been, but I'm just talking about some of the bigger profile names that are starting to show up. You know, you get this line and some of the sons coming up, and it's, you know, Catholic Boy is a big guy, and hopefully Daredevil picks it up, and you've got some other sons too in the wings. So, you know, it's a positive development, and it's great that Claiborne, you know, backed this horse.
A couple of other stallion pieces of news. Justin Phillip is going to move to New Mexico, and it's funny. Even before I read the blurb about it, I thought to myself, you know, given his, you know, his style of runner, New Mexico probably suits him. And then I saw a quote from Jim Hernandez, who owns the Quarter Company. He says, I targeted Justin Phillip because of the speed he throws, and is going to fit the mares in New Mexico. So Castleton Lions made the arrangement to move Justin Philip. And Sid, you know, we talk often about, you know, the international stallion. Last week we spent some time talking about the Marshallier. Sir Prance-a-Lot. Very interesting with a reverse shuttle. Who's the last? When's the last time we saw this? A Southern Hemisphere coming up.
We've seen it here a few times. We've seen it here with Vancouver coming to just recently. Medaglia d'Oro's son coming from Godolphin, Australia, to here. We saw it with Coolmore also brought that Medaglia d'Oro's son reverse shuttled in up to Kentucky. We've seen it with Darby Dan sent that Red Ransom son on a reverse shuttle All-American here. We don't see it happening, as in the case of Sir Prance-a-Lot, to places outside of Kentucky. And that's an interesting one. This has been announced for a while. In fact, I wrote about it. I mentioned it a month ago, too. But this Sir Prance-a-Lot has had such incredible success with Baltus and the California Slam Dunk Racing and that group and racing in California that it makes a lot of sense. And he's a really attractive horse. He gets speed in Europe, and that kind of translates to miler speed here on the turf. And I think for California breeders, it's a great happening. And he does well with the Nureyev line mares as well. And of course, in California, one of the leading horses there was Unusual Heat, the son of Nureyev.
Right.
He's got that kind of mare pool to work with. So that's a really nice reverse shuttle. I can't really think of any outside of Kentucky, like I said. It's not a common occurrence, the reverse, and it's certainly rare working the other way there.
Well, and you mentioned Baltus, and of course, just this weekend, the win by Lady Prance-a-Lot, and
and
I've mentioned his name, Sir Prance-a-Lot, a couple of different times. Bo Recall is the other is another big name. I mean, the ones that have turned up, and it's funny because I brought this. I was kind of referencing this storyline a little bit earlier with Jonathan Thomas, because here's that stake win that he authored on Sunday with Zenobia, daughter of Falco, a son of Pivotal. And I don't want to call them obscurities, but, you know, we talked about Exceed and Excel, and, this has come up a number of times, and it's always noteworthy and interesting. And something tells me that, I know things are really tenuous for the Cal breeders, but Rancho San Miguel is going to be standing Sir Prance-a-Lot, and I imagine he'll be well received.
He will. He's the Mr. Prospector line horse through Gulch. Rare thing here. Gulch then had a son, Nayef, who had Tama Hughes. And Tama Hughes' son is Sir Prance-a-Lot. He's one of those precocious horses. Again, adds some diversity to the equation. You know, Falco, the sire of Zenobia, he was actually a really good racehorse. I believe he won the French Guineas, but he stands very inexpensively, and I think he services national hunt horses in Europe as well as flat. He had another states winner in the United States, won Laurel Dash, I believe. he's it's interesting how this horse came, because he was Zenobia was a private purchase by Strawbridge. Strawbridge purchased her in her penultimate start, and in from Ireland, ran fourth there, and then came here and was off for over. Well, I hadn't raced for over a year until the win. So interesting that he's normally a home breeder. That perhaps he was a potential broodmare, that prospect that he bought.
Exactly. Exactly, and it didn't take long for Jonathan to get North American black type, and it sure sounded like, I said, have you and Mr. Strawbridge discussed what kind of a future? It sure sounds like Jonathan would like to keep her around for a little bit longer, maybe a 6-year-old season, but that'll be up.
I wonder what took so long in. I wonder if she was. I mean, I wonder if she'd been bought. I wonder if she was bred this spring and it just seems like a long time to wait. It would be an interesting to figure that one out.
Finally, on the stallion front, let me throw in your thoughts on Flame Away and his prospects.
Well, you got to love any Senescat daddy now. And this horse was very highly thought about, remember, on the Kentucky Derby trail. I think it's another great acquisition for Darby Dan, who's, they've been doing extremely well with their young horses. They've got this young Tapiture that was extremely popular. Oversubscribed, and he's now well placed on the First Crop Sire list. They've got Klimt. This is in addition to some of the younger horses like Shackleford that they went after and got. They've also got Chuck Fipke's Met Mile winner B Jersey, standing for $5,000. They've got this horse now coming in, and of course they developed Dialed In, who started off cheap like this. 7,500 now is up to 25, and so their program is really percolating, and I think it's a great pickup, because you're not going to find too many scat daddies.
And I'm just looking at
it's a Jack Oxley yearling purchase.
The female family,
great family. Flame of Tara is the third dam. It's a great European family, so there's a lot of promise there, and I think at the price point it gives breeders who are when you have Justify Scat Daddy at 150, then you've got Mendelssohn at 35. Now you've got this horse at 75, and it's very interesting because all three of these stallions have a rarity in them that's Justify. I'm sure this is the case because I kind of remember looking at it before, but some of you guys out, pedigree guys out there, can verify this, but Justify, Mendelssohn, and Flame Away are all have this interesting thing. They're all inbred to Nijinsky. So, as you can see with Flame Away, second dam, Rose of Taras by Generous, son of Carol Leon Nijinsky. And of course, Scat Daddy's second dam was by Nijinsky. So it's interesting that all of these three of these Scat Daddies, in these particular three, are each inbred to Nijinsky.
are you ready for a crazy coincidence in two of our discussions, two of our principles here?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Sir Prancelot, when you look at his dam, Mona M, by the Nice Cat Trail, out of a dam by Majestic Light named Tough as Nails. Then you look at Flame Away, and you mentioned Flame of Terra by Artius, a son of Roundtable. Artius was bred by Mrs. John Haynes, and John Haynes himself bred Tough as Nails.
How in the world did you find that?
Having seen Roundtable's presence, is disappearing from pages. I mean, it's rare these days to see him, in a 5x5 pedigree. If you do, it's usually obviously on the back end. So I was immediately interested and drawn to the Roundtable son, and and have seen John W. Haynes' name. But it just so happened when I looked at Sir Prancelot, similarly, I wanted to see Cattrail's, where Cattrail's background was, because there's a lot of U.S. I'll tell you one name also, Sid, that appears in all of these pedigrees, Buck Passer, everywhere you look.
Yeah, that's the influence of Buck Passer, again, is, we've talked about this before, Steve, these great racehorses that end up not having a stallion son, but end up becoming so important as the sire of broodmares. So when you become a sire of brood, when you're known through your daughters, what ends up happening is your presence becomes prominent in the interior of pedigree. So if you're looking, for example, what I mean by that is, if you're looking at a standard pedigree, you have your top line, which is your sire line, right? So that's your top sire line, but everywhere else within that interior is what I mean by the interior, because if you're a sire of a dam, it's going to be somewhere underneath there. And that's the big influence of horses like Buck Passer. Even, you were talking about Falco, his sire Pivotal, great stallion, but his influence is coming through his daughters. He's a broodmare sire this year alone of 12 G1 winners. And so the daughters, Falco is a son of his, but, he stands for 3,000 euros or whatever, and there aren't, too many great Pivotal sons except for, right now, Siuni, the Aga Khan's young horse. But the daughters have been absolutely phenomenal, and that's where you're going to find, most of your influence, and Buck Passer was that way.
That's so much fun, and for those that have heard the name, by the way, John Haynes, the John Wesley Haynes, an exemplar of racing, was involved at NYRA as a trustee, and he and his wife Hope Haynes, prominent names that you don't hear as much anymore, and I'm going to guess that their children didn't really go on with it. But the minute I saw the name, I thought there's a fun and sort of odd coincidence with these two young stallions. Sid, let's also get a sales update in too. And day two yesterday at the October yearling sale, and numbers are good. Numbers are steady. Yesterday, actually, Nyquist with the session topper, Leem's Map continues to rack up the scores too here as the yearling sale season draws near its end.
Yeah, I mean, this is the sale is it's a sale where you've got some big names in here, but a lot of times those names are horses that were either a little immature beforehand or have some problems, slight problems people can live with. But, you know, and then you've got younger horses in here that are going to stand out. And so you'll find some price discrepancies. You know, you might find a big name horse going dirt cheap and a younger horse selling for, you know, a lot of money. But uniformly, as you pointed out, you know, some of these horses with two-year-olds and yearlings are selling really well. Liam's Maps, the Run Happies, Frosted, Nyquist, these are all horses either were two-year-olds or younger. And, of course, Medaglia d'Oro had three of the top four in here. And there was a good American Pharaoh for 315. Not to change the subject, but did you mention on your show this week about Bodemeister going to Turkey?
You know what? I haven't. I'm glad you did. And in fact, yeah. there's a Bodemeister in today's fifth race at Belmont. And I don't know. I had a lot of affection for Bodemeister.
Yeah. So you've got two Zayat horses, Justin Phillip and Bodemeister, exiting Kentucky. Of course, Windstar will keep his Derby-winning son Always Dreaming. But, you know, after a few years, this kind of stuff happens, obviously. And ultimately gets down to support. And when there's no support here, you may be tempted to take the good money that's being offered from out of the country or another state.
There's a couple of noteworthy hips, Sid, that, in fact, I mentioned it this morning because there was excitement, especially after Mattoli had that unbelievable work yesterday. Not that Mattoli's half brother, you know, needed a page update or some more attention paid, but I thought it was interesting that the one that sold yesterday, the $110,000, which, you know, sounds modest with Mattoli on the page. This is an Oxbow son, and Mattoli, of course, by Escondorea.
Yeah.
And this is a very nice female family. And in fact, the dam, Glacken's Gal, the dam of Indian Miss, Glacken's Gal has got Bella Via in that fifth race today at Belmont. So there's a relation, once removed, to this same family that was, you know, a big hip going into the sale. Dennis O'Neill takes this one home, but doesn't that feel like an undersold price?
Well, you know, you've got to take into consideration a couple of things. One is that this particular colt is by
Oxbow.
Oxbow, yeah.
Which,
and so that's going to, and then of course, you know, we don't know what the physical, horse looked like either. However, I believe this horse had been pinhooked. The Oxbow had been pinhooked. And, I wonder what, let me just see if I can find the price last year. Sale history.
$17,000. Bob and Sean Feld.
That's right. So it was quite a big return for them.
You know, and I'm glad you said that because there was a little blurb that Ron Mitchell wrote up that caught my eye. In fact, which you know is a bit of a an example of, you know, how the business, you know, how challenging it is, but also how you can make small, you know, there's small victories. And he wrote about, Ron wrote about the street boss colt that sold to Jim and Susan Hill yesterday for $100,000, hip 223. And Brian Holmes pinhooked this one out of Keeneland, November last year for $4,000 as a weanling. And so, you know, that's a significant win.
That's terrific.
Right? You buy one for $4,000, you feed it and you groom it and take care of it, you know, for 11 months and you make $96,000, you know, minus expenses. But, you know, this is how people survive. And, you know, I having just been at the Saratoga sale last week where a lot of weanlings, you know, went through, you know, it looks like a minor notation when there's horses selling for seven figures. But, you know, this is how people live and survive in this industry. It's significant at all levels.
Yeah, it really is. And that's a super little story to, you know, give hope to people.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. you know, and even if you're operating on a small budget you know, there's plenty of people that are operating, you know, with doing this as not necessarily their principal trade, but, you know, are picking out a few every year and for small money like that. And, you know, trying to convert them into, you know, either, you know, depending on your financial wherewithal, you know, if you have to sell each, you know, as a yearling, or if you can keep going and train it into a 2-year-old, whatever, either way. I mean, but I thought that was really worth, you know, celebrating and communicating to people.
Yeah, no, that's a great story.
And one more for you, Sid, before we get ready for Breeders' Cup. Today, hip 920, a yearling colt by Perfect Soul out of Munning's Sister.
I was just talking to the consigner, Leslie Campion, of Paramount about him today. He's a nice colt. He's got real clean x-rays. Her text to me today was, you know, she sent me she said her exact test was, he's quite a smart colt, enough size, well-balanced. He's got really clean vet report, good heart. He's only the second foal of Money Sister. So I think he's a colt that anybody can bid on pretty confidently, that the physical and the structure is there in terms of x-rays and vet reports and heart scans, and plus that pedigree with the young, you know, good mare that's the sister to Money.
Yeah, I knew I wasn't gonna adjourn without bringing that one up.
Well done.
Now, Sid, as always, tremendous. I appreciate it. Next week, it'll be all Breeders' Cup conversation. When we're together, you can work with Sid, Work Thoroughbred Consultants, 510-490-1111. Write it down, 510-490-1111. Broodmare compatibility analysis that Sid referenced actually early on when we were talking. And another reminder, if you've got a new stallion, particularly, you know, regionally, you got to get them into the Enix system. Register your stallion for Enix. And Sid, we're half an hour away from getting some pre-entered fields.
Excellent.
For the Breeders' Cup.
All right, well, it was great talking, Steve, and I'll we'll look forward to next week. Have a great
very
week.
Much. You too. Sid, of course, usually good for a obscure winner or three, or at least some exotic players at Breeders' Cup. Not just during Triple Crown, but Sid will sniff out a couple of ones that most of us overlook. Let's take a timeout. Top of the hour. We've got an hour to go, and we're finally going to get our visit in with Jeremy Plock and John White. Next, we'll talk a lot of Keeneland with Jeremy. Some very good racing here these next few days. And, of course, Saturday they wrap up at Keeneland, and the scene will shift to Churchill for the fall meet that is so often two-year-old focused. Stars of Tomorrow 1, Stars of Tomorrow 2. Back after this, Jeremy Plock joins us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Play the Empire 6 at Belmont Park, featuring daily payouts and a carryover jackpot. Best of all, it only takes 20 cents to take down the Empire. One unique winning ticket earns the entire net pool plus the jackpot carryover. Without a unique ticket, 75% is distributed to winners, with 25% added to the jackpot. The Empire 6 consists of the final six races each race day at Belmont Park, and the next jackpot carryover mandatory payout is Sunday, October 27th. Learn more at nyra.com/Empire6. The Empire 6, play small and win big.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Love this. We're back, and of course we'll be in California. We'll have to break out all of our best California tunes. We're gonna get to Jeremy in a couple of minutes, give him a window, and let me get the sales stuff out of the way. Stack of that. You know, it's funny because I brought up Leem's Map with Sid, and you know, just looking at the five that have sold the first 2 days, it absolutely is a example of this. I don't want to say feast or famine, but five have sold, one for 260,000. That was the one to Waves Bloodstock. Then Kenny McPeak bought one yesterday for 250, Philly, out of Indian Burn, and then Stoneway. For $190,000, also a filly out of Lemon Splendor. And then there's two more that sold, one for $3,000 and one for $15,000. I mean, there's like, you know, extremes. And I saw Boyd Browning's comments yesterday too. I think the sales companies would like there to be, you know, more of a strata, you know, evenly distributed strata. But it keeps kind of repeating itself in the sales market. So not that you know, some of the lesser priced runners haven't gone out and done good things, but it's, you know, you're starting at a little bit of a disadvantage. So while we wait before Jeremy joins, excuse me. Expecting today at Belmont, in fact, Deja, you can call Jeremy now. He just sent me a note. He's clear. He was on the phone, and I'm sure Jeremy getting ready for the bottom of the hour and the pre-entry fields. But today at Belmont, I want to check if they've got conditions set, because I imagine they'll be fast today. And obviously the off the turf, the three races off the turf are going to impact, and they just put up the changes, in fact. And they're calling the dirt muddy right now. So we'll have to see if maybe as the groomers, as they try to groom, if the track doesn't go from muddy to good to fast, particularly for this fifth race that, you know, features some very serious 2-year-olds. This is one of those, you know, late season races that you look to. Now, I already mentioned Bella Via, that's directly related to Mattoli through Mattoli's second dam, Glacken's Gal. This is the honor code that Jenna Antonucci brought to Saratoga and comes out of the Tumbling Sky race. And Famished, of course, was behind Bella Via. So Bella Via will be, and in fact, there's an entry because Farmington Road on the outside, a quality road for Aaron Wellman and Eclipse, as well as Bob LaPenta and the breeder, Chrysalis Stables, stayed in here on Farmington Road. And the reason it's an entry is because of LaPenta, who owns Bella Via with Sol Kumin. So it's a, you know, it's a common ownership entry. So Pletcher heavily, you got to look at the Brad Cox, the Bodemeister I referenced for Anstu, 16 tons. And Chad Brown with Default Rate, the Carpe Diem for Seth Klarman, Secret Rules, the Hillendale bred Secret Circle for our friend Lee Einsiedler. And then the $1.2 million Snapchat, Don Chatlos, looking for that first win since taking over the East Coast horses for Larry Best from Jerry Hollendorfer. And how about Moon Over Miami as well for Jane Lyons? This is a serious group. Should be a lot of fun. Race goes off 3:32. I'll have to watch it while I'm getting my hair cut.